the tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. The tomboy brunch. I'm a tomboy.
Because ladies love sports too.
I'm a tomboy.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Tomboy Brunch. It has been a minute, but wanted to come hop on, check in, see what's happening with my people. And my people on the line with me, Lamona, what's happening?
What's up, everyone? What's up?
And my homie Harold in the house.
What's up? What's up?
my favorite brunch people. So I just wanted to say hi to everybody out there, all our tomboy people, and kind of hit on some things today because holidays just passed. Haven't been on every week because I'm gearing up for what I've been calling season two. I've been producing some actual really good episodes of the Tomboy Brunch so that to hopefully to gain insight, knowledge, awareness, stay woke. There's so much going on right now in sports, entertainment, politics, fashion. So if you think about all of that, there's more than enough content for shows. But I don't want to just come on here every weekend and just talk about the same stuff that everybody's hearing all during the week. So that's the reason for the not every week we've been having a new show, because I've been working on producing quality shows over the number of shows. So, but like I said, having brunch with my people today, and let's just talk about some stuff, y'all. What's happening?
It's a lot happening right now.
Exactly.
It's
a lot.
It is.
It's
and
like
first,
what do I do? So I watch the news just to, you know, make sure I know what's going on, but I can't watch it, like, all the time because it puts me in a very, like, not-so-good place because, I don't know, I just feel like this administration that we're under, they're just miserable people, and I feel like that tone is just spreading across the U.S.
It is. I just kind of wanted to have, hey, everybody, what's happening? Because, you know, speaking of, like you say, with the politics and everything, this healthcare issue was a big bomb dropped this week. And as someone that suffers from seizures and has epilepsy, the pre-existing condition affects me. And,
right.
You know, I have to see a neurologist every year. I have to. And so, I'm literally in shock. You know, me and my mother had this conversation, and I'm literally in shock at what has transpired since November. What was it?
I think, Trina, and, you know, it just really upsets me because I think about people, you know, my friends like you, Tam, my mom has a pre-existing condition. Then I think about my niece that was just born. She's a special needs child. So it's like... I was listening to something on the news this morning, and some person came out and said, you know, for Jimmy Kimmel, I don't know if you guys saw Jimmy Kimmel's show or the clip of it.
His monologue, yes.
And then that guy, Joe Walsh? Joe Walsh.
Yes.
He said, you know, a sad story, but that still doesn't make me want to pay for somebody's insurance. But basically they were saying that Jimmy Kimmel's speech was kind of like unwarranted because for him to say that the baby wouldn't get treated is wrong. They're going to get treated under the American Health Care Act, which is what they have pegged Obamacare, and they'll get treated under the Trump Act. It's not that they'll get treated, because I think any doctor that sees a baby in distress, no, they're not going to just let the baby die on the table. The question is the family going to be able to afford to pay after they give this baby what it needs? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about if the hospital is going to do what they need to do as doctors and nurses. It's about the financial aspect of having that done, idiot.
Mm-hmm. And then as someone, like sitting there filling out papers or filling out information online, you know, one of the first questions that they ask you is about pre-existing conditions, and that
right.
answer then determines how the rest of your paperwork goes, whether you're going to go
right.
to this screen or you need to fill out this paperwork, because, you know, you already see the change. Oh, it's kind of like, So it's like, pre-existing condition, you come to a hospital or anywhere for services sick.
Right.
So everybody has a pre-existing condition.
My thing is, they all want to sit around and complain about the cost of insurance and it's costing the insurance and it's costing this and that. I just firmly believe that they just want to undo everything President Obama had accomplished in his presidency. I just believe that they just don't want that man to have a footprint in USA government history. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. They don't give a crap about the American citizens. They just on a selfish agenda. Let's not let this black man have his say.
Yeah,
and they just hell bent on undoing everything he did. They even removed the lunch program that Michelle Obama started. It's just ridiculous. So you want
those kids
to go to
school. Tons.
Yeah, like you just want those kids to go to school and eat crap every day.
Yeah. Yeah, and the politics, like I said, that can go back and forth, who it affects, and, you know, because it's just the same way for 8 years during Obama's presidency, you know, he had to fight for everything because he didn't have the support of the Senate. So now you have a president who does have the support of the Senate and who wants to undo the good things that Obama did, and when you look at him, the current president and the people that are around him, his advisors, the people that he's appointing in various positions, they all look like him, rich white men.
Right.
So you look at the people that represent your country, and none of them in the cabinet, workers, or anybody looks like you, it's hard to feel like, you know, you're part of something. So I don't know. Let's move on and talk about something else because that can go. That's a whole nother show, which will be coming. But I wanted to talk a little bit about first. I thought the NFL draft was real entertaining this year. I thought it was a good draft. I'm really, really happy for Deshaun Watson coming to Houston as a Houston Texans fan, a Houston resident.
He should have got picked up higher, but I'm going to leave that alone, though. But
right, I do, too. I was surprised, but it to me, it worked out the way it should have because Houston got him, and that's – yeah, but he should have gone higher. But I watched him at Clemson. I think he's a great guy, cool. His family, his mom, what's his name? What's the guy's name that gives away the houses? The retired NFL player that – who?
Ward Dunn.
Yeah, Ward Dunn, when Deshaun was 8 years old, his mom, Ward Dunn, gave them a house.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, so I just really love how that story is. His story is something bigger than just getting drafted into the league.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to see how that evolves and what have you.
Well, you know,
Get into the she didn't watch it at all. Well, didn't watch
no,
the draft.
I ain't invested.
Yeah. Well,
you know, good for him. Glad he got signed and stuff.
Well, you might have heard about this. Hal, let me ask you this because you are involved in sports. What do you think about the Ball brothers and their dad and these shoes?
I think it's ridiculous. The price of shoes at $500, that's more than a pair of Jordans, and you haven't even had a step on an NBA court. So I'm just like, that's ridiculous.
Well, for those who don't know, tell them what we're talking about, like Mona, who may not know what we're referring to.
Well, I did hear about that. I do know about this one.
Well, for those who don't know, Hal, tell them what we're talking about with the Ball brothers.
Anyways, with the Ball brothers, basically – since no high endorsement as far as Nike, Adidas, they all stand away from him. So basically what the dad did, he's going to put his son's shoes out there and price it for $500 a pair. And everybody was like, you know, that was ridiculous. and can't understand why the guy hasn't touched the basketball in the NBA yet, hasn't even been drafted yet. I mean, he's pricing shoes at $500. So it's just like one of those things we were looking at, like, you know, that's kind of crazy. Because, I mean, I know he's trying to promote his brand. I understand that, but he's doing it all the wrong way. I mean, Trina, you know that. You're a business person. You're a PR person. The way he's doing it, just like, oh, my goodness, for real?
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of just curious to see how this whole thing unfolds. Because, like you said, he has a son who is an NBA draft prospect from UCLA. Right. He hasn't even gotten into the league yet. And instead of partnering with the Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Reebok, he wants to be the brand, i.e. this Ball Brothers brand. And like the Nike's, Under Armour's brand, Jordan, do charging $200-$300 for shoes, he's coming out the gate under his own umbrella of the Ball Brothers brand and doing it himself. But like Hal just mentioned, his son ain't even bounced a basketball yet. But again, high prospect, and his dad, though, has been doing the most. His dad's been on ESPN doing interviews saying, my son this, he can do this, you know, and using comparisons with names like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and LeBron James, this, just a lot of talk. And, he better watch himself. He better watch himself.
I feel like the dad is messing his son up already before he even steps into the NBA. The dad is giving his son a bad name before he even steps into the NBA. And
yeah, right, and the thing about it is, I understand him on, instead of signing with the Nike, Under Armour, and letting them be the money, he is being the brand. He is being the Nike. And so in that part, you kind of understand, because if he didn't, like 10 years from now, we might be, hey, have you gotten your Ball Brothers shoe yet? Because that might be one of the new big three. Instead of Nike, Adidas, Reebok, or Under Armour, it might be Nike, Ball Brothers, and Under Armour.
He's just going about the wrong way. That's how I
think. I agree with Harold. Like, I think, I mean, I get it. You feel like your son is good enough to have his own brand. Okay, I agree with that. But I think the price point, you know, the average person, the average people are struggling to buy Jordans, which is a national, you know what I mean? So you think the average person that is a fan of your son right now, that their parents are going to go out there and buy them a damn $500 pair of sneakers?
Well, then that's the thing, because early yesterday I saw something. I didn't click on the link, but I saw that already, like, he had sold almost 5,000 pair. And see, and as an entrepreneur, like, for instance, like with the Hustler T-shirt, Statement Brand Apparel that I created, I'm starting out with one or two people that order shirts. But one day I hope to be a big-name brand. And so you have to start from somewhere. So for that, and I can't – right now, I can't compete with or I'm not competing with Ivy Park or Nike or Lululemon, you know, none of those. But you have to start somewhere. So it's just because he's – and I think it's just because he's so vocal doing it. But that's also could be his ploy to sell shoes. So it may be crawling slowly, which things do. It's rare that things come out the gate selling, sold out and selling a million of. But I was, when I saw that number 4,700 something, I was like, whoa. And I know people who have paid $300-$400. You know, you have those sneakerheads, sneaker collectors that pay that kind of money. So it's not unreal. To me, it is. I ain't paying no damn $500 for no tennis shoes. Exactly. Unless it has wheels or it takes flight and can, you know, I clip my heels together and it takes me there. That's the only way. But, shit.
I mean, I know you're talking about us as far as, you know, not paying $500, but at the same time, I know you probably saw it, but there's a tweet between him and Shaq about, you know, big balls will buy my shoes. And Shaq was trying to tell me, you know, he's a big ball. I'm not going to buy your shoes $500. So it's not just us people saying that, you know, we're not going to buy. Even the big balls are like, they're not going to buy his shoes $500. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But his shoes,
me too.
Not like,
Yeah, I was surprised at that too. But and then you mentioned Shaq. That's a good example because you know Shaquille sells his shoes, the Shaq brand, in Walmart. His shoes are affordable. So yeah, so I don't think there is necessarily that makes him a winner or a loser. It's just a sign of the times. It's like let's just see how this happens. But you know he's talking a smack, but it will be. Another story will follow.
Sounds to me like the dad is living vicariously through his son too.
Definitely.
Problem.
What's going to happen when he gets drafted
and then I'm not wishing no bad will to him, but you know. And the son just has a horrible first year. Like, you know, what people going to say about that? Like, his shoes still going to worth $500?
If he turns out like a horrible player in the NBA?
Yeah, that's something to think about,
Let's just get him into the NBA first. Let's just start there.
No, he's going to be a top three pick. Let's just get this. We can shut that down. He's going to be a top three pick. My thing is once he gets in, what's going to happen, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to the top three picks. So that's already a done deal.
That's a given, yeah. But I don't know, I was going to say, dad talking all that mess because you know how some owners and stuff now say, use the word, and I quote, distraction, but and they either like it or they don't want it. So his dad can either be hurting or helping him because, like I said, I was surprised at the number of shoes sold.
That's a surprise right there.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's gone up since I saw it like a day or two ago.
Well,
I'm
you
sure
know, at the
up.
Same time, people can go out and spend that amount of money on other brands. So, you know, kudos to him.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You kind of want to root for him for creating and building his own
sneakers. But, hey, kudos to the people that do. Like,
right.
And that's important.
Yeah. Because, but he could have, some people saying he could have done what Michael did and under the Nike umbrella for years until he created his own brand. Now he has brand Jordan, it's in school. So, so that's something else. And what else? And also, next weekend is Mother's Day. So I am hoping to... I'm still trying to think of what to get my mom for Mother's Day. She has everything. But do y'all have plans for Mother's Day?
No, my mother doesn't do any holidays.
Oh, she doesn't?
Nope.
Okay. And Harold, what about you?
I'm going to talk to my mother, and then after that, besides that, I'm probably going to take the missus out somewhere. You know, just having a good relaxing day. So... Nothing big.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yay. She needs it too with you. And Mona, though, I wanted been meaning to talk to you about this all week, Mona, meaning to call you. How was the Chris Brown concert in New York, in Brooklyn? Did he shut Brooklyn down on Monday?
Yes, he did. It was sold out. It was awesome. He has his show is very, very good. Like, okay, so before I went, I just basically went to see him because, I mean, I know who Fabulous is, and I'm like, Fabulous is cool. But the other people, you know, all the other rap, I think it's Casanova, Cap G, and OT Genesis. So when Casanova came out, you know, there was points where during the concert that I felt like an old lady. I didn't know who they were. I'm like, who are these people? So when he came out, you know, the crowd clearly knew who he was because they were singing his song. But I was like, I've never seen this man in my life. So and then he opened and Cap G came out. And, you know, I guess he's from Atlanta. Yeah, the New York crowd just really was not really giving him any love at all. Like, they're like, who are you and why are you on stage? So, so then moving right along. OT Genesis came out, and I'm like, I don't know who he is either. But then when he starts singing his song, I was like, oh, that's him. He sings the song, I'm in love with the Coco, cut it, that. So I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you need to cut it. I didn't know his name.
So then I got hyped because I was like, okay, I know these songs. And I felt like I was part of the crowd, not an old lady. So I finally heard some songs that I knew. Fabulous, the way the show ran, those three came out in open. Then he had that comedian DC Fly or DC Young somebody open before the music started. And then our Fabulous came out. He did his first set. You know, he went through some of his new stuff, did a couple of old stuff. He left. Chris came out, and his first set, he started with his old stuff, like Poppin' and all his stuff from his, like, first two albums. Then he left the stage, and Fabulous came back out. And when Fabulous came back out, he brought out – first he brought out some little boy named A.G. Young. Don't know who he is. Again, I felt old. But then he brought out Little Kim. And when I tell you – that state, like that arena went bananas. Like bananas when Little Kim came out. I was shocked.
And how did she look? How did she look?
Horrible. She really, really looked a mess. But, you know, if she's happy with the way she looked, then hey, so be it. But I was just really surprised by the reception she got because, you know, if you read social media, people talk about her so bad. You know
right.
what I mean? On social
well,
media.
Brooklyn is her home, but Brooklyn
I
is
know,
her home crowd,
like
though, right?
She's from New York. Brooklyn is her home. You know,
where
so
Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn
right.
at?
So they gave her, like I was talking to Tam about it because she went in Nashville and she was saying how Fabulous didn't do well there. I'm like, I don't know, his show was really good here in New York because I guess because he's from Brooklyn too and he's from New York, I guess they get a lot of love. But then he brought out Little Kim, then he brought out Cameron, and then he brought out Young and May. It was a really good show. And then Chris came back out. I was just in my glory. I thought Chris' show was very, he set the stage up really well. Of course, he danced well. The only disappointment I had was he didn't really engage the audience. You know what I mean?
He was kind of just technical.
Yeah, like he just came out and sang and danced. He said, yo, you know, what's up, New York? What's up, Brooklyn? Thank you for coming out. Thank you for all the support. And then he came out and did a song with Fabulous, and he's like, give it up for my bro Fab. Like he said stuff like that. But you know how some when you go to some concert, an artist will just talk to the crowd and like tell a story or two. Like he didn't do any of that. So I was a little disappointed because I wanted to see more of his personality, like his real personality. But then I was a little disappointed with that. And he wasn't singing live the whole time, but I get it because he danced so hard. I don't see him being able to sing live the whole time. But if he's going to do that, he's a horrible lip singer. Like, and you know I love him, but he's horrible at lip singing because there were times when he was, like, if you're going to lip sync, pretend. Like, Beyonce's excellent at it. Like, you can't take the mic from your face and we still hear you singing, but you dance it. Like, you know, like that's just not, he needs to work on his lip syncing skills. But other than that, I thought the concert was fabulous. There were parts where I felt like an old lady. I definitely would go see him again, but I hope that next time he goes on the road, he brings some more R&B people. Cause I don't know. I was just,
well, see, you have to understand that. Well, because you are in different, you guys are in different age brackets. What you would want to see, you like him, but his genre are those people outside of Fabulous, but those people, you know, those young cats, like if you want to say that about the Cut It, I wouldn't have known who the OG is either, but people knew. It was so good.
Yeah, I didn't know who the heck he was until he sang that I'm in love with the Coco. And then that other one, Cut It. I was like, oh, that's who he is. Okay, I know who he is.
Yes,
But, yeah, well, the concert was really good, and I was surprised that it was sold out, and apparently people were trying to bust down the door. And, you know, I'm just surprised that no blog or media is covering, like, his concert. Like, no one is giving a word about it and stuff like that. But I was just
surprised. That's what I was asking. I hadn't heard anything.
Yeah, no one has even did a review on it. Like, no musical journalist, nothing. And I was just surprised that it was sold out because, again, he's one of those people that social media goes in on all the time. Like, he can come out and breathe through his left nostril, and they're mad because he didn't do it through his right. So, you know, it's just surprising to me. But I just feel like when he's doing good, they don't really report that. They only report bad stuff about him, which is perpetuating his horrible image. You know?
Yeah, that's everybody. They were always media always reporting bad stuff.
No, but I feel like blogs are they do a balance on other artists. I feel like they do report good stuff on other artists, because to me Drake's image in the blogs and the media, he can't do anything wrong. Right. So you never hear any only bad stuff you hear about Drake is that now all of a sudden all these girls talking about he got them pregnant. I was like, would y'all please sit down? Like unless y'all coming with real Carfax and real receipts that prove your case, shut up. You just want attention.
Well, maybe that's why they always saying good, because he ain't doing nothing bad.
He is doing stuff bad. He just keeps his stuff way, way, way under the radar.
How do you know? What's he doing bad?
I just feel like, no, I'm not saying he going around popping people in the face like Chris Brown. I'm just saying that Drake is probably doing his dirt too. He just know how to keep his stuff under wraps. I mean, look how long it took for us to know Whitney Houston was a drug addict.
Right.
Okay? I'm just saying, he got a fabulous team around him that keeps his stuff under the radar.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that people are. And then, you know, my boo, Chris Brown has a movie coming out, but it's only coming out for one day.
For one day?
Yeah, it's called Welcome to My Life, Chris Brown. Well, it's like a doc. He's been documenting. Cameras been following him, like, since, I guess, since the Rihanna incident, I guess. And he has a documentary coming out, and he's putting it in the movie theaters for one day only, June 8th, at selected movie theaters around the country.
And there you have it from the official Lamona Maxwell, the number one Chris Brown fan.
I'm the number one.
Who?
Out of our group of associates and friends, I'm probably
There's listeners everywhere. Harold, do you like Chris Brown?
You good.
Oh, yeah, and then another thing is they said that Karrueche served him with her papers finally. Well, not Karrueche herself, but somebody served him with that order of protection thing that Karrueche got going on. They served him, I think, yesterday somewhere.
See, we'd have to go back. We don't have time because I don't even know what papers, protection, and all of that. Or you know what she's referring to?
I have no idea. That's all I was going
to ask. Yeah, so I don't even know that. But that's good. But what you guys got going on today after brunch?
I'm going to meet one of my friends for dinner. We go to this place called Jacob's Pickles here in New York. They're known for their biscuits and chicken. So we'll see.
Get you some biscuits and chicken.
And their pickles.
What's you and the family doing?
I got to take the kids to a couple birthday parties, and that's it. So it's a kid's day for me.
I hear you. Well, I'm about to go continue to eat and have brunch with my aunt and uncle and my cousin. Okay. And just kind of hang out on this beautiful Saturday in Houston. The weather is really nice here in Houston. So, but again, I wanted to let everybody know that it's big season two. We are in the midst of it with the Tomboy Brunch. Thank you guys for those loyal listeners who have stayed with me for the past year. And thank you to Lamona and Hal, who are part regular contributors to the brunch, to hop on and give me their 2 cents. And we appreciate it. What the brunch is all about.
Right.
You know, we want to come together and enjoy. So I love and appreciate y'all for that. And let's tell the people bye, y'all, and enjoy the rest of our Saturday.
Later.
Right.
Enjoy your Saturday.
Peace.
All right, Tomboy Brunch, and we out.